All right, and welcome to the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn Green and EB. Boy, waiting on a great show. I know it's going to happen like it does every Friday on Studio W The Buzz. Just go to www.studiowbuzz.com or Android devices. Just go on and download IMG2. Q Lynn, how are you?
I'm doing fine. EB, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Is EB on the line with us?
Oh, Will, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing
good. Ones. I mean, these wings, these chicken wings. Listen, I bought five.
Oh, no, not the chicken wings.
And they put an extra four in here.
Not,
I just bought these. I bought them and some buffalo wings, and I just ordered five. And once again, the chicken gods blessed me with four of them, like more extra. I don't know what I'm gonna do with all these extra wings.
It sounds like an inside job to me. You got somebody
inside
that.
Job. Listen, it ain't my fault that people like me at these restaurants and stuff and want to give me food and stuff like that and want to nourish me.
No, there's nothing wrong with
giving free food.
Okay,
it's a likability. That's what I'm saying. Well, people like me outside, you know, of radio.
Well, we like you inside the radio too.
Great, friendly human being. Outside of here, so I get a lot of favors, get a lot of gifts, you know.
Okay.
You know, so just cause people, you know, like being around me, like
you're
my
funny.
Presence and like my energy. I'm just saying.
Oh wow! You know, I tell you, you know, it's a little it's been hot here in California, Southern California, over the last couple of days, but today. You know, it rained last night and it's really cool. So it's around about 65 degrees out here, but it's still, you know, I don't like the heat. I don't like extreme heat. I don't like extreme cold. So, hey, you can figure that one out, but we're having fun out here anyway. It's all good. Been waiting for your show.
Right.
Been waiting.
All that.
Yep. Been waiting for your show. A whole lot of people been. They said, wow, what about that show on Friday nights? What is it? I said, the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn Green. I says, now, never mind her. I said, we don't have in our budget, you know, for medical care and mental health care. So, you know, let her be who she is.
Listen, I don't need none of that. Listen, I got all that packaged in my own. Listen, I need to go talk to somebody. And all that. Right? So,
oh, as long as you got it covered. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Hey, that's all good. That's all good. But anyway, so what are we, what's happening here tonight? What is the topic?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
EB, what's going on?
I was telling him about these chicken. Did you hear me? That's what I said about these chicken wings I'm eating.
Nah, I was.
Oh. I was telling him, you remember, you was running late. You forgot your A-ball packet. That's all right. We good.
Oh, no. I couldn't remember the pen.
Oh, my God.
I kept putting in the wrong. I was like, wait, what's going on?
Oh, you remember off the top of your head. I always write it down because I can't remember nothing.
I
can't remember nothing no more. My memory is slowly fading. Flipped.
Yeah, that's me right now.
Well, I was telling Will about these chicken wings that I'm eating. Like, you remember last time I told you I ordered six. I only ordered five this time. Cause I had a pretty decent breakfast this morning. It was pretty heavy. I had like some flax wheat waffles, and you know, it kind of filled me up a little bit. Got you know, nice protein in.
Wait,
the morning's
but
all good.
You order like by the wing. You can order five or four or three.
Yeah, well, this is an Italian restaurant. You can specifically order rings. Will, turn your phone off. I know it's you. Turn it off. You always on your phone when we doing the show. Turn it off. Go answer it.
Bust it again. I'll bust it again.
Go get your Pinot Grigio order. It's fine. But I was telling him that I ordered five, and they didn't bless me. I guess the chicken gods want me to have extra and just want me to get all this protein in today because they gave me nine. I ordered five. It's
not. No, something suspicious going on.
Make sure. Okay, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Something suspicious is going on. That's an inside job.
Ain't no answer. Listen, I told him it ain't my fault that people, you know, find my energy pleasant and they just want to give me stuff. People just want to give me stuff all the time. You know what I mean? Give me free, you know, glasses, eyeglasses, free shades, give me free tickets, all kind of stuff, you know, free vapes, you know, all kind of stuff, free, you know, 420 experiences and all that stuff. It ain't my fault that people want to give me these things and want me to enjoy it. And free, you know, just free things, you know. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
She should share with the co-host and at least the engineer also, I would think.
Listen, this is a local, right. And then also, but y'all said are y'all anti-Starbucks? Because they give me a lot of free stuff too.
No,
are y'all boycotting Starbucks? Because y'all can get in on that too.
I don't even, I don't remember the last time
I got gift cards if y'all want some.
I'm not a coffee person. Oh, but you know, if you
they got more than coffee there. You know, they got, you know, tea options. They got I forgot the name of it. Some strawberry, some kind of energy drink. They got energy drinks. They got green drinks. You know, healthy
you
other options.
With Starbucks, very
expensive protein packages. Yeah, you get all that. Listen, I'll give you a gift card. I got to send you a gift card. I get them all.
Oh, she gets gift cards too. Can you believe this?
All the time.
That's what I heard. Hey, Q-Lan.
Yeah,
what else are you holding out on? You holding out on something else. What else are you holding out on?
I'm holding out on this pair that I just been that came with the one.
This is too funny.
It was a good pair. It's good and fresh too. Oh God, it's so good. Listen, it's something about eating chicken that just blesses me. I just feel re-energized. Got all my protein right now. And I'm feeling good. May go work out after we get through workout and get it done for the day. I'm feeling real good. I've been real. How's your week been, EB? What you been up to?
Oh man, it's literally been all work, like constant work day and night. If it's not work for, you know, my job, it's work for myself. It's been work all week, so I'm looking forward to the weekend.
A bunch of productivity happening, a lot of productivity happening.
You know what? It is, and the pollen is helping because the pollen is keeping me inside, so I don't have nothing else to do but be productive.
Right, as long as you're being productive with the work, you don't want to be tired and not be productive in it. Like, I'd rather be tired and then do something productive. Mine was all right. I've been consistent. I've been getting my workout on because this is the first time that I can get my cardio in fully because I haven't, like I said, been in recovery. And so it's been a while for me to, like, get back to my usual workout stuff that I usually do. But I got back to it today. I worked out 3 times this week, and I'm feeling all right now. Eating real good. And it's crazy because I always celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and I didn't even go out. I always hit up, go to spots and get at least 5 mojitos, cause it's one spot, they got all kinds of mojitos. They got mango, they got, blueberry, blackberry, and the regular mojito, and I usually get all 5 of them that's on there. And just knock it out. I didn't do none of that, cause with my recovery, I can't, like, drink alcohol and stuff. Like, you don't realize how much you drink until you go to, like, you have to get, like, checkups and stuff, and they were like, how much do you partake? I'm like, oh, this is, like, for the day, like, maybe, like, about 4 glasses of, you know, whatever I have, and then maybe about, like, a whole pack of, like, some raspberry ale or something like that. And they were like, you know, that's, like, the cause of, I was like, oh, my God, now I got to give up everything I like, because ain't nothing like a cold, like, usually with wings I eat. I drink beer with it, like a real cold beer, but now I got like cranberry juice and stuff like that.
I usually drink cranberry juice anyway,
but it don't usually taste good. I like certain pairings with my food, and I like drinking beer with my wings, but I'm drinking sparkling cranberry juice. My friend gave me this. He's supposed to go to the store. He go to the convenience store and get me some dang on ice that tastes like tap water. I'm like, where you get this ice from? Because I had 2 bottles of sparkling cranberry, and I was like, where did you get this ice from? Because it made my drink taste weird. And I was like, what is this? And he was like, I got it from the store. What you talking about? I'm like, well, you think, don't get me something else. And then he went down to the lobby and got me some ice from out of his whatever refrigerator down in, that next to the elevator or whatever. I'm like, you should have gave me this ice to begin with, but he gave it to me out of this little Dixie cup. I don't know why he couldn't, listen, He said I'm being difficult. I don't feel like I'm difficult. He said every week I'm being difficult when I ask for certain things. I don't feel like it's difficult for me to ask for ice that don't taste like tap water. I don't drink tap water. He said I'm acting bougie. I think I'm being bougie because I want ice that don't taste like it came out of a water hose. Like, that's what it tastes like. That's what it does.
And you know what I'm laughing at? I know what you're talking about. I've had ice like that.
No, it tastes funny, and I didn't like it. I was like, go get me something else. This ice he gave me, but then he gave me some ice. I don't know what the heck this ice is. It looked like miniature-sized igloos with water inside. I'm like, what is this that you just gave me? It's like floating and stuff. I'm like, man. I was like, as long as I keep my drink cold, I don't care. But, yeah, then he gave me these. I'm trying to set up all this stuff, and then he gave me coils. They got, like, oily stuff on it, like ink or something on there, and I had to go wash it off. I'm like, man. And he's like, you are doing too much. I'm like, well, all right, just go then. I'm like, you're still not invited on this show. That's a continuous thing because you don't know how to act. But, yeah, he already left. I was going to let him stay on, but he had to go. He's going to be a guest on the show, but he said he had to go somewhere. So he's a musician. I think he's going to go do something else. So, but, yeah, you guys, we're going to do the Savvy updates real quick. I'm just saying, rambling. You got the updates pulled up. Your update.
All right, let's see. The first one actually comes from Iris, and she's just asking, what motivates you the most, money or doing what you love and grinding? She says she's an aspiring small business owner, and she would love the response. So I'm going to ask you, Julian, what motivates you?
What motivates me?
Yeah, is it the money?
What makes me to make money? Is that what you asked?
Well, yeah, see, I guess she's asking, are you motivated to do what you do, is your passion? Is it money or the passion of it?
It's interesting. It's like a two-part question. It's like a mixture of both because most of the time when I first started out, it was just mostly passion. I didn't really get paid to do it. Like, at first, well, online, I did get paid. I got paid a lot. And when I stopped doing gigs on the road, I went to church. When I transitioned to church, I didn't get paid in church at all. When I was playing the piano, when I started playing the piano, I wasn't getting paid in church, and I didn't really care to because it felt weird. And I was just so into it. So I think in the beginning, when I was like taking it, like just studying music, I wasn't motivated by money. But it wasn't until I got later on in my years getting experience, like maybe my seventh year playing. No, it was like maybe my fifth year playing. I started taking it seriously and wanting to get paid. And then, I think the last 4 years I've been motivated about playing for money, but not really. I think what I'm doing now, in terms of doing this documentary project is I'm more passionate about that and I don't really worry about the money and I just do it. Most of the projects that I'm passionate about, the project that I'm doing, I don't care about the money. But when I'm working, when I'm doing other gigs, like if I'm backing or if I want to tour, doing that side, those gigs, then yeah, I care about the money because that's definitely a priority when it comes to being a musician and taking it seriously with your business in terms of your rates and all that stuff. So that part, yeah, I care about the money. But when it comes to, like, passion projects, I don't care about it. But when it comes to, like, getting a check, oh, yeah, I definitely care about the money. In terms of doing tour, doing gigs and stuff like that, regular gigs like that, I definitely care about the money because you'll definitely get short-sighted or get short-banked by these promoters and people you work for in the band and all that stuff. If you're working for an artist or singer, if you don't set your mark high, then they'll just give you whatever. So you got to go in, like, knowing what you want. But that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, I definitely just wanted my passion projects, I don't care about the money. But if it's in terms of a certain amount of money that I want, then, yeah, I do care to an extent, but not that most. Because if I don't get that money that I asked for, then I'll just pass on it. Or if it's not certain credentials or something like that set up to where to my liking, then I'll just pass on it. Ain't no big deal because I can get it some other way, and I don't worry about that check. So it's sort of like a pleasure. It's sort of like a, it is like a pleasure to be a musician now, because a lot of them, a lot of musicians don't have it like that. So I'm privileged in the fact that I can pick and choose the gigs I want to do and get the certain amount of money I want. So I don't really worry about those. It's mostly my passion projects that I worry about, in terms of just trying to get it out there and not worry about the money. But hopefully that answered your question. You got anything on that? I don't know. What else?
I mean, for me, I think it's, I'm like you. I think, that's a 50-50 thing. I think anything that I'm very passionate about, that passion is what motivates me. It's always nice when you can make money off of that passion. And once that starts happening, that becomes an additional factor. Like, you know, it's like an added bonus to what you love, and that can help motivate you. But initially with anything that I do, I'm always motivated, you know, things that I want to do, my passions, by just the passion of it, just wanting to do it, or just it being something that I love. So it can go both ways. Like you said, when I'm doing projects for other people, those things are typically money motivated. I'm to the point now where actually I'm starting to, anything that doesn't feel good to me or that I don't want to do, I'm starting to just say no and not do those things. But in the past, it was always a yes. And those yes, that yes always came with strings attached. And the string was, well, I have to be paid well to do it. You know, I have to be compensated for my efforts, my energy, and my talent. Now, if I don't want to do something, I'm going to say no, point blank, period. So that's why I say now I'm more motivated by passion, because I have to initially want to do it, to pursue it. And then once that starts, you know, once you add money to it, it's like a win-win. It's a, you know, all around. You know, you're getting it from all around. So, yeah.
Exactly. But you got another one, another
yeah,
update.
Yeah, so this one is from Jazz, who says she's a heavy romantic. She says, I've been single for a year now, and I think I'm ready to start dating again. The only hang-up I have is that I don't know where to go to start back dating. I want to try online dating, but have no clue if there will be any positive to come from it. Please help me if you have any suggestions.
That's interesting. Online dating, I don't have no... I mean, I have some, but it's not nothing, like, significant, because it's mostly people that would, like, DM me or message me, and they'd be like, you know, trying to start a conversation, and then they'd be like, nah, but I'm good.
Right.
But, yeah, it would be, like, stuff like that. They'd be like, nah, I'm good. They'll be, like, trying to, like, start a conversation, and then it'd be like, all right, you know, when can we get something? So I'm like, man, no, that ain't happening. But other than that, I don't really get, if you're specifically talking about, like, online dating, like, with, like, actually, like, filling out, like, information to, like, what's those things called? Like, black, what is it called?
Black People Meet.
Black People Meet, like something like that. No, I've never done that ever. I've never dating profiles online, which I've never really looked into. I wasn't really interested in that, because usually the people I was around, like certain environments I was in, I would like casually meet guys like in certain places, and then sometimes it was just randomly. I don't know any success stories of online dating. I don't know. If you're looking, I don't know if she means like that kind of online dating or just in general, like Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And I've heard like people like link up through like Instagram and stuff like that. But I would just like research the people that you are interested online before, like, seeing them face-to-face or whatever, progresses from that. That's just my thinking, because usually you can tell a person by, if they have, like, a profile or something, I can pretty much sum you up by, like, the stuff you write on your page and your posting and tweets and all that stuff. So it's not that hard to figure out. But, like, that just seems like a lot. I don't really have any advice about online dating, because not saying it's wrong. I don't know if it's wrong or right. It's just not something I would be interested in. But if you're interested in that, what's the base of the question? Are they asking, like, our advice on, like, dating in general or online dating?
I think it's two-parted. I think she wants to start dating again but doesn't know how to get back into it. But then she also wants to try online dating, and she wants to know if we have any suggestions as far as online dating, too.
I don't know. I know people get on Tinder, but that seems, like, kind of shallow, because they just swipe people off of their looks, and then I think they have, like, some kind of conversation that you can have, like, a 20-second conversation or something like that on the app. I don't know. I don't have it. I just know what I've heard or whatever. And I don't know. I guess Tinder would be one if you're interested in that. But if you're just dating, then I would just change up your environment. Like, if you used to going to the same places, like, I would just, like, a grocery store sometimes, and then the gym or the bar is just kind of, like, that's like a cliche spot, but I don't know. Maybe you'll find somebody good there, but it's just, I guess we'll just change your environment up. That's my thinking, but if you just got a relationship, I would just focus on it. It sounds cliche, but just work on yourself. Like, most of the time, like, if you, like, have confidence that you can pull somebody, like, pull anybody, you know, man or woman, this can work for. Like, if you just have that confidence, that attracts people. And if you just carry yourself like whatever, like, it don't bother you. Like, I think you're too worried about, like, dating specifically. Cause when you date, you can't look to, like, start a relationship off of dating, because that's not going to work. If you're going to really date, then I would try online dating, if that's your thing. Like, try all the options, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or any of those the ones he named, like Black People Meet or something like that, if you're black or whatever, or, you know, something, whatever those online datings are. I forgot the rest of the name of them. What's the rest of them? Do you know the rest of them?
Man, yeah, it's actually a whole lot of them.
Right, but I don't have any. Right.
Okay, Cupid. I've been in New York for 2 years, so I'm an expert at online dating at this point.
You're talking, because I don't know nothing about that.
No.
Ahead and tell her. Whoever it is.
If she's specific, I think it's a she. Yes, a she.
Okay.
If she specifically wants, like, where to go for online dating, I mean, honestly, I haven't had the best luck with it. I mean, there's, of course, Tinder, OkCupid, there's, like, Soul Swipe, there, like, that's only for black people, there's Black People Meet, and, I mean, there's Christian Mingle. You can look me up on Christian Mingle. Sneaking with the Deacon 48 is my screen name, y'all look me up. There are a lot of places to go, but like you said, like, that kind of is like a surface thing. Like, on Tinder, basically, you're just swiping somebody based off of what they look like. And I'm a person that actually does read the people's profile before. Well, if I find you attractive, I'm going to read your profile before I swipe, even though my profile says nothing at all, so that's very hypocritical. But I would give those places to try if you specifically want to get into online dating, but just be very specific about what you're looking for so you're attracting the right people. But then there are other places like, you know, Facebook, where there are just in general on Facebook, where they also have groups for that. And I think Facebook is also about to introduce a dating component to their website. And then there's like Twitter, Instagram. I know zero success stories from online dating through apps like OkCupid or Tinder, but I know many, many success stories from Tinder. My sister and brother-in-law met on Twitter, and they're married today with an almost 2-year-old. I mean, I know three other couples who have met on Twitter. And that's more so, you know, they didn't necessarily go to Twitter looking for love, but they were just being themselves, and they attracted those like-minded people, and sparks flew. Now, if you're just talking about getting back into dating, I'm with Q Lynn. You got to change up your environment. I know for me personally, what works is I tend to go places where I think I'll meet people who share or have similar interests as I. Like, I love music, so you can often find me, I'm not a club guy, but I'll go to, like, a lounge or even a live performance. I do a lot of open mic nights or karaoke nights or even a lot of concerts. I also am big on craft beer and,
You find a lot of people at concerts.
Yeah,
there's a lot
of concert,
people
you find everybody.
I mean, go get
started. Kind of change up, you know, where you're going. Like, if you used to go into a certain, like she said, a certain grocery store or a certain gym, maybe go to a new location or, you know, go out to the park sometimes or, you know, I guess you can meet, you can find someone anywhere, but this is the advice that I've heard. And Kulin even mentioned it tonight. It kind of happens once you start working on yourself and you stop looking that someone shows up for you. And, I mean, with dating, I mean, you can – there are a lot of outlets, all the online outlets I named, and then also even the, you know, changing up where you're going or going to places where my art show or something, you know, or – a baseball game, you're bound to meet somebody. I mean, I meet people anytime I'm out. Now, whether or not I want to keep in contact with them after meeting is a different story, but you kind of have to open yourself up to new options.
Oh, yeah, you said the good one with that, with the concert. I didn't even think of that one. The concert
is a
real
a good
place
concert?
Especially if it's like an artist that you like and then y'all bond off of that. Man, let's. Yep. I got two dudes' number in one night. At,
yo.
I was at, I think it was the Daily and what's that woman's name? Lila James show in Dallas at the House of Blues. I got two numbers.
Right.
And they were
but
five.
You gotta go
they
to
were,
the right concert now. Don't be.
I didn't call
concert.
None of them back though, because like I said, I'm an eligible girlfriend out here, you know, so I couldn't call them back, but you know. It was just good, you know. Hey,
yeah, a concert is amazing. Like,
right.
Outside of dating, I meet, like, friends and, like, cool people to hang with.
Yeah, you meet all kinds of
people
at concerts.
Like you said,
yeah.
I think last year you went to, was it Earth, Wind & Fire, a Frankie Beverly concert.
Oh, yeah. I went to both.
The
old both of them.
Drinking. Yeah,
man.
Like
we connected with that. And just, it was just fun. I felt like I was hanging with an auntie and uncle. And then.
Exactly.
You know, I was dancing with her man, and we was having fun. They was loose off the goose, and we was having a good time. It was fun.
Yeah, you know what? If you do that, if you go and meet a new person or new people, and, you know, you're open up to more social circles, maybe someone can introduce you to someone they know who is also looking to date, and you don't even have to go through the online stuff. So there are a lot of options for you.
Right. Yeah, man, do all that stuff. That concert is definitely top one. EB said it right there, because I forgot all about that.
All right, so
I think we're done with that. Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Okay.
I got one more. It's a kind of long one, so I'm going to kind of condense it.
I noticed that. I didn't even read it. I was making sure it was a question, and I was like, okay, this is a question.
It's from Delvin. So shout out to Delvin. Because he says that the Soul Savage show is the business. He wants He wants advice about sex.
We're gonna have to
do another Lusty show soon. He said it.
Whoa.
It's a conversation he had.
Right.
He says he thinks it's natural for a relationship, like, to experience and discuss sex. Like, that's part of a natural timeline of a relationship. He said some people said that they can't sleep with a woman or a man in the beginning, and most of the women tended to agree with that, but most of the fellas said that they just like the sex to happen naturally without any type of time attachment or timeline. So, I guess his question basically is, what are our thoughts on that? I guess, and do we think people should have sex before they get married, or do you think it's something But do you think it's something that should happen? Like, do you think sex is something that should be discussed in the beginning of the relationship, or do you think you should wait to discuss sex and let it happen naturally?
I mean, the conversation is going. I mean, when you get to know each other, it's going to go there, but it's just going to be natural chemistry that happens to whether or not y'all act on it or not. Whether in the conversation, however the conversation goes, or how you feel about it, that person will let you know. If they're an adult and communicate properly, that would be discussed before anything jumps off. So before y'all like get intimate and all that stuff. But the question is, what was it again? Do I think sex, sex before marriage is, okay?
Yeah.
Like I said, next question. I don't get into that. Like,
no,
that ain't my thing of,
I'm gonna shout out again, because in the email he actually says, which I thought was hilarious, I love it. He said his mind is made up and he will not hinder his queen from giving him some if she's ready. He
loves funny.
He said they not no thoughts and no hoes, but they love sex and it's normal for them.
That's nice.
And he said, I guess their mutual friends or their friend group, they think everybody should wait and get married, and the married people give advice on how to do it, and they don't know that he and his girl are getting it in. I guess it's a group of people that don't really believe in premarital sex or believe in that whole thing. I don't know. But I'm with Q Lynn. Like she said, yes, next question. Let's listen. You get it in. I'm telling Delvin, get it in as much as you want. You get your queen, and she get it in as much as she want. If y'all got any single friends, y'all look me up again on Christian Mingle. Deacon with the Dink and Deacon 48 is my screen name, so we can get it in too.
You know what that guy in that email, he sounds like, I saw somebody on Facebook say something like that, but they were saying like that sex messes up something or like that when you have sex too early. I'm like, what the? I'd be like, why are y'all giving y'all Steve Harvey advice? Like, nobody asked for this. Like, that's why I stay off of Facebook, because that's all it is people trying to give Steve Harvey advice. So I'm like, none of y'all are married, so why are you trying to, none of y'all have women or men, so why are y'all giving love advice? Like, it's so weird. Like, most people with the opinions are always trying to, like, preach something. Never have anybody, and it's always interesting. And then when I give my little information about it, and they'll be like, they'll assume that I'm single, and so they'll like try to placate how my life is and try to psychoanalyze me over a post that I make. And I'm like, yeah,
keep you be like, no, I got a man.
Right, and it's like, yeah, I like, because they'll be trying to say if you don't do this, then you're not gonna have a man. I'm like. What age are we in right now where that's still like, they'll be like on some like, the man does this, the woman does that, these gender roles and all that stuff, and that's like a whole other subject and topic. That shit is so draining and annoying. It kind of goes along with discipline, the topic we have tonight, because that annoys me.
Yes, it's annoying.
Talking. Sex is natural. So then, if you want to do that, if you let religion, if you let anything somebody told you in the book tell you how to control yourself, of course, in some instances, the why that all that stuff is like a whole like deep talk, and we can get there. But if you want to have sex, that's naturally, if y'all vibe like that and y'all both on the same page, go ahead, Dalvin, or what's his name, Delvin?
Yeah, Delvin.
Delvin. Brother D,
so, I guess
get in how you fit in.
The second part of his question is, do we think that sex or relationships are healthy conversations to have in mixed company with, like, groups of friends? Some may be single, some may be dating, and some may be married. Is that something that you stray away from, or is taboo to discuss in front of other people, or do you discuss it with your friends?
No, I only discuss it sex with people that are comfortable talking about sex. I'm not going to talk about people like, ooh, you do that? Like, you know, I'm not thinking, we all grow. We're not thinking to have this. Like, if you're interested and you're intrigued by it, like, it's a way to be, like, shocked by something, but without, like, being like so like you're inexperienced about stuff. Like it's like, come on, grow up. It's like people are like, oh my God, fake, oh my God, why are you talking about this? How do you do that? Oh my God, I can't do that. That ain't me. That's for y'all. I can't do that. I know that's not me. I'm not saying that you're a hoe per se, but I can't do that because that's just not my thing. I can't do that, you know. Man, shut up. Nobody cares. I want to talk to people like that about that.
Oh, my goodness.
When you do that, it's just certain, like, I can, if I, listen, we, that's why I said we can't do a lusty stuff, a real, like, sex talk on this show, because I don't want that response from nobody.
I'm sweating right now. Okay.
And then people's, like, people's freak levels is different, so you can't, what works, it is true, what works for you works for you.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's just certain levels to it where it's like, okay, we can't, you're intimidated. Okay, I said the word penetration. Why are you uncomfortable right now? Penetration.
Right.
What? Fighting. Why is that uncomfortable?
You have to discuss.
Why are you uncomfortable about it? 69. Why are we uncomfortable about that? Okay, we'll move on.
Breakthrough.
Trying to keep you clean, y'all.
I'm going to say
sexual words. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to say, like Kula said, you have to discuss it in front of, I think it's healthy to discuss it, but I only discuss
it
in front of people that I know are comfortable and people I know are cool. Like, my best friend is my cousin, and it's a woman. It's a she. We're the same age, and I just remember us back in the day having conversations, like back in the day, like 10, 15 years ago, and she was always the one doing exactly what you just did, Q, and that, ew, you do that, or ew, like, and I was like, all right, you know, so, but now that we...
Can that be the one that be the most freaking? I remember I told you about that person when I was at work back in the day, and we were talking about porn in the conversation. I don't know how we started talking about that, but they was like asking, do you watch porn? I'm like, yeah, I watch porn. I was like saying it casually. And he's like, oh my God, how do you watch that and all that stuff? And I was like, what? And then it was like, I think she had went to go clean the bath because we were hosting, and I was watching the front, and she went to go to the bathroom or something like that, or go clean the bathroom or something. And her phone was ringing, and she left the ringer on, and I was trying to put it on vibrate. And when I was trying to get in her phone to turn her phone down, she had it on the Internet Explorer, and it was like two gay men like doing it on her screen. But I was like, oh wow. I was like, you talking about me. Like, I just mentioned the word porn and you freaked out, but you got a whole like situation on your phone, like the real stuff. I was like, okay.
I was about to say, always those people, because now,
right, exactly.
When my cousin is having that conversation, like, normally I'm the one that's kind of shocked by what she's talking about. Like, oh, I ain't tried that. Like, I'm over here taking notes and writing stuff down.
Right.
So I can learn.
It was somebody I had conversations. Right, right. Right. I like the ones that be like, oh, that's interesting. Because then I'll be like, okay, I put that in my Rolodex. I would keep that in my head. That sounds interesting.
Box of tricks.
Something I want to partake of with. I'll keep that in the back of my head. We're going to be like, we already going there, y'all. Listen, that was PG-13 right there. You ain't getting, listen, we can go either way you want to on this show.
Oh, my
God. We go PG, and we go XXX on that. Well, if you're ready, we can go to break.
I've been ready.
We'll be back with 6 minutes of rain.
Oh, this is too funny. Oh, my
right,
God. I was at the lounge. I got to tell you guys, boy, this is funny as hell. I was in the lounge just listening to you guys. Hey, great show. In the meantime, the Soul Savage Show. EB and Q Lane Groove. Let's do it.
Feels all right. Feels all right.
I'm getting down with the folks
in
the trunk.
Feels all right. Feels all right, baby.
I'm getting down with the funk.
Never too fast, never too slow. You keep it in the middle. Feel me tempo. You hold me so close, you hold me so tight. I'm working up an appetite to make love all night long. Nobody else like you. I think you're
love this cut. Babe Bryant. Feels so right. Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show with man, EB and Q Lynn Green. Man, what a show. Hey guys, just keep it going.
I'm trying to figure out what that song reminds me of. It's like,
that song reminds me of like,
an 80s like song.
I was about to say like a 90s song.
Yeah, it's like a soundtrack or something. But I was trying to think.
That's
a 90s soundtrack song.
That's Babe Wright. He's a producer and a writer. He's also an artist, but that song features on lead vocals. Her name is Blaze, I think, or Blaze, B-L-E-Z.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of my favorite new songs. Like, I listen to that all the time now.
Dang, I'm trying to figure out the artist that reminds me of. I'm trying to remember it. Dang, I hate when it be like something that remind me of something and I can't remember what it is.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the artist. I can't think of who it's for, but yeah. Somebody, one of my friends asked us, he said we should have did the karaoke again the other week when Whitney was on. I'm like, that whatever week that was when Whitney was on, he said we should have did a karaoke with 80 songs.
I'm ready this time. I am ready this time. I'm still upset about that. I am still upset.
Man, because you broke out that Sam Cooke and all that, being all serious. I wasn't even trying to be serious. I told you I was trying to get my songs on. I have my Sylvester song ready and everything.
Uh-oh. See. Mm-hmm. I'm ready next time. Uh-huh.
I was ready for that, too. I need to get my Prince songs ready. That's what I need to get ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to get that together. I'm gonna pull out a Michael Jackson song. That's right.
I got work on my. I used to be real bad at Prince. My voice, my vocals be going in and out. I be trying to get it right.
Yeah, I understand.
Hey.
It had to be Prince. Yeah, and she's serious too, folks. She is serious. All right.
I am.
I know you are. I know you are. Hey, look here. If you're ready for faith, I tell you what. Speaking of serious,
top five singer. You ready with my top five singers of all time?
Would love it.
Faith Evans joint.
Got it queued up.
There we go.
Let's do it.
That's one of my favorite songs off that album, Incomparable. That album be bumping.
Hey. Whether it's wrong or it's right, I'm gonna be with you. Opinions have no influence once I've seen the truth. I don't mind it being me and you against the world. We faced opposition before, it only made us stronger. Every time I love feels new. Faith has brought me closer to you. What we've become, we'll never change.
Faith Evans. Right. Forever.
Hey.
That's right. Welcome back.
I joined.
I love that one.
All right. Hey, folks, in case you missed it, this is the Soul Savage Show with EB and Q Lynn Green. What a show, folks. Hey, look, I tell you what, this show deserves this.
Oh, yeah. This is a good album for, like, the first half. I don't really rock with the second half of this album because it's kind of weird. I don't know how to feel about it. It's a little weird. But, yeah, it starts, I think the interlude saved this album because, like, after this song, it's like the rest of the album is like, okay. But it's still good. It's just,
well, you know, it's like the interlude saved it. So.
Yeah, man, she bought that. I actually tweeted her a while back. I forgot what album it was. It was the one, like, in 2010, that song she did with Elder Barge. What is that album? Lay With You? That song?
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, yo, you the gold of interludes, and you need to put them, so I feel like she personally put all those interludes on there, because I said that, because she, like, retweeted what I said. And she's like, yep.
You know what's true?
I just want to say, I feel like I'm a benefactor of her putting interludes on this last album she had, Incomparable One. Not the duet album, because technically that's not really her album. Like that live album, I don't count them as her album, because it's like a Christmas album. You know, like when artists like make Christmas albums and stuff. It's sort of like that. I don't count it as a real album. It's just like something y'all doing or whatever. It ain't really a song. But yeah, that's my jam right there. I'm trying to figure out my favorite. That's probably my top three songs from that album. I don't know all the words yet. I just remember the melody. But yeah, we're going to do the 6 Minutes of Rage, a.k.a. Savvy Report. Or either way, I'll say it backwards. Will got me saying 6 Minutes of Rage now because he'd be raging. I wish we had enough time because I know we can go in on this. But man, we got so much to talk about. But it's so many updates with this freaking administration that's in office right now. All the stuff they got going on. It's like something new, like every week. But it's like some interesting stuff that I found out. And I was like, I'll talk about it when Will takes us over with. So we get into that. But yeah, right now we're going to get into 6 Minutes of Savvy Report, a.k.a. 6 Minutes of Rage with Will. So Will, if you ready, we get into it.
We are ready. Hey, let's get it going, folks. Rage. Hey, on the Soul Savvy Show.
Let's go.
Alright, let's bring it down just a little bit. Rage. Oh, man, oh man, oh man. Hey, remember these companies? Novartis, AT&T, Russian oligarchs. It just can't get better than this. Paid blacks to rally for Trump. Hey, mark that down. Coin, money laundering. Oh man, this guy is a jack of all trades. Real estate. Oh, medical advice. Oh, I had no idea, you know, that he had an insight to everything that's going on from, hey, what's going on in the foreign adversaries, the Ukraine and everything like that. I had no idea. Boy, Ben Carson, we have to get back to him. Hey, remember, he's black. Nobel Peace Prize. Nobel Peace Prize. Q Lynn, EB, can you get this? The Nobel Peace Prize. Some clown says Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize. Mark a line under that. Rudy Giuliani, what a genius he is. Now, if you guys know Rudy Giuliani, he was mayor of New York. And there's a lot of controversy going on about this clown. Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, I think he divorced his wife over the telephone. Get the note of that. Hey, Trump can't get invited. This guy cannot get invited to a funeral. Now, think this out. Now, you understand that there is a wedding going on in London. Okay, Prince Harry. Okay, and his beautiful, beautiful bride who happens to be black. Okay, they invited Obama, but Trump did not get an invitation. Now, check this out, folks. I don't care who you are, who you think you are. You can't get invited to a wedding. You can't even get invited to a funeral. Oh my God. Iran versus Israel. Now this is very, very serious. Folks, you really don't understand, and you have to really tune in to know what's going on. Iran just fired some rockets at Israel over in Syria. I don't know how that connects up, but it just so ironically happened right after, your brilliant elitist, 45 just pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal. This is very serious, folks. All right. Oh, police were called on a black Yale student. Come on, folks. This is a graduate student at Yale. Somebody who knows her, or somebody who is also a Yale graduate student who happens to be white, called the police on her because she was sleeping. Can you believe that she was sleeping in the dorm and the police came and questioned this woman for a time? She's a student. Come on, let's get back. Paris Denard. Now, this is reported that Paris Denard, he's also black, and we, love to hate Paris Denard. Hate is a strong word. I want to use that, but I dislike him, a lot. I dislike him a lot. It is reported. Now, we need to vet our news, with our budget, our resources are limited, but that's okay. Paris Denard, it's reported that the Trump campaign paid him $77 million. So I'm telling you right now, so is that a reason why he seems to be a sellout? I'm not making any calls here. I just want you guys' opinion on that. But let's get back to this. Novartis, AT&T, and the Russian oligarch. Now, something very, very strange. The president's attorney, who now he really doesn't even know anymore, but he's also been here for about like 12 years, has received well over $4 million so far from Novartis. What is that? That's a medical company. And that happened to come down just before the merger with AT&T. We have to talk about that too. They paid him $1.2 million. They just want to get an insight on what's going on with the president. Some people say that's not illegal to do. But guess what? Okay. His lawyer, is not a lobbyist. You have to register for these things, but they say, hey, that's the swamp, and you can do this in Washington, D.C. Folks, if you really don't know, you really aren't paying attention. AT&T paid this man also $600,000. This is just before they wanted to take over Time Warner and CNN. Folks, this is deep stuff. You really have to understand. And then there's a Russian oligarch company that also paid him some money. Oh boy, this gets juicier and juicier. And guess what? That's a Russian oligarch worth over $13 billion and had a company set up in the United States. But I've got to get to this point real quick before my time goes out. Out of all these funds and all of this money, blacks were paid to rally. You remember those signs that was behind Trump? Blacks for Trump? Guess what? These people were paid. These blacks that went out and rallied for him and also wore those hats, Make America Great Again, a lot of those people were paid. Folks, you understand, you cannot make this stuff up. This is made for TV. Oh, it is on TV, isn't it? Hey, I'm telling you right now, this is serious stuff. You got to get out there. And Uncle Ben Carson, I cannot forget him. Hey folks, let's remember that he's raising the rent on low income families, and they're stripping out food programs and in schools. And this is what I'm really outraged about. They're cutting back on the lunch programs for our kids. This, now it doesn't get any dirtier than that. Now, I talked about last week how they fired the preacher, folks, or the priest that was in the White House, who was the White House religious council. They fired him. So guess what? Hey, this is a problem. I'm telling you right now, folks. Hey, I guess my 6 minutes is up. This is the 6 minutes of rage. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Q-Lan, EB, got a question for you. What do you think about the blacks that were paid to rally for him? And then now think about how powerful social media is, and include all of this with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and also TV and everything alike, emails and things of that nature. And think how people are being brainwashed and influenced.
Yeah,
This pisses me off.
The Russians had set up the ones that the intelligence that they found out that they were messing with. They created like bots or whatever on the internet to like create these things. Like they got like fake profiles and saying. I saw one of them. They saying like a bunch of Sambo talk. Like black people don't talk like this. I'm like, who made this this Twitter for this black person? It's like the Russians are trying to. Say they were like Trump supporters or something like that. And, I forgot what it was. It was some page they were like talking crazy on. I'm like, yo, black people don't talk like this. And then they created all these fake websites. But I do think it's interesting what you think. Yo, that's a big deal that Michael Cohen, when they found out, was it, Stormy Daniels' lawyer had said that, had released that the corporate payments to Michael's LLC. And what's funny, like you said, all the people you named, all the companies you named, Columbus, Nova, Novartis Investments,
AT&T.
They said all these U.S. companies linked to Russia, oligarch. It says, the Novartis Investments, SARL, it's the acronym, it's a pharmaceutical company. That company, Novartis, sent his LLC $399,920, and then the AT&T they sent his LLC $200,000, and it's another one, the Korea Aerospace Industries, they sent his LLC $150,000. And what's crazy is nobody can, and that's what I guess what Mueller is gonna find out, that account is basically set up for Trump, like his
leeway
into doing business.
Yep, you're right.
And it's crazy that most of the Republican pundits that's talking on TV trying to say that it's no connection. I'm like, well, you can't say it's not a connection yet until the investigation is over with, because they're like taking all that into consideration. Because why do you have an LLC set up and? It's for real estate. You claim that one's for real estate, but there's no business being done.
That's right.
With the real estate.
Hey, Q-Lin, you're exactly right there. Yeah. And EB, check this out. And Q-Lin, what happened is recent reports is that, AT&T actually paid $600,000. Their first $200,000 payment, that was for, it was like $50 a month or something like, I mean, I'm sorry.
Right.
It was like, $50,000 a month, and what you're reporting is like, 4 months, like 3 quarters, right? Or whatever the math works out to be. But anyway, it was a total of $600,000. And that other company, Novartis, I think, if not I'm mistaken, they paid him $100,000 a month for a year. That's $1.2 million. And with all of these other contributions, now guess what? How do we know it's not more than one account? All right. And this is particular account. It was for over $4 million that he was paid because, they wanted insight to Trump. All right. And he told these guys, if you got anybody else working for you, fire them and hire me because I'm the closest to Trump. That has been vetted. That's been documented. And that is a fact. I'm serious. And that same account, that same account, check this out. The same account, the same account that money is the same one that paid Stormy Daniels that money. And I believe it's the same account that paid out that other guy that worked for Trump in his campaign $1.2 million because he impregnated a woman who was also married and she had an abortion. They didn't want it to get out. And so she was paid $1.2 million.
Right. It's like more details getting released. It feel like there's a lot of smoke with the fire.
Oh, we're only getting a part of it.
It ain't over with yet, but.
Oh, it's not over with yet.
They're finding out stuff there. So that lawyer of hers is real good, man, because I think I was watching Bill Maher's show, and he was saying he probably wishes that he had him, and he probably does. He had Stormy Daniels' lawyer, because he's basically that kind of lawyer that Trump wants, but he got a bunch of pricks in there that don't know what they're doing, like Michael Cohen and all this stuff.
Yeah.
His face bothers me. He looks like an old German shepherd at the face. He looks like an old dog. He looks like an old dog in the face.
Who are you talking about, Michael Cohen?
Yeah, he looks like an old dog. He forgot his face. He looks like a dog in the face.
Well, he's got a lot to be worried about.
Old dog.
He's got a lot to be worried about.
That's what he looked like.
Because he's all hooked up with the mafia. I mean, well, I think the Russian mafia, we haven't vetted that. Yep. But see, hey, EB, but check this out.
He got to be top five worst lawyer of all time. Like, yep. I know people say that, he's like the opposite of Johnny Cochran.
Opposite. Oh,
he's like the worst lawyer in the possible.
Oh,
like any of these things. If he needed a job after this, I wouldn't hire him.
Nobody
like,
would.
You are awful. You are the worst lawyer.
Nobody would hire him. And EB, you in New York. EB, you in New York. Would you hire Rudy Giuliani? And before I pass this on to you.
Oh, my God. That really. And then he come in just telling everything. He about to give the investigation away. He get on TV and say, yep, man, he paid her. Like, you just blatantly just gave. Like, Rudy Giuliani is the devil in the flesh. Like, he is terrible. He got old wood teeth like George Washington. Like
that
old George Washington
team.
The devil. That's the devil right there.
That's too funny. That's too
funny. But you got anything else to say, EB, before we move on to the savvy and raggedy news?
You know what? I just think, it's ridiculous. And like y'all was saying, I just think the people, those black people, who were paid by Trump's campaign. Like, I'm sorry, I love money as much as the next man, but I don't think any amount of money that they were willing to offer me would have made me get up there and look like a fool.
That's right.
Talking about make America great again, I'm for Trump.
That's right, EB. I couldn't agree with that more.
Them two black ladies, didn't they get what is it called? When you lie on the oath.
Oh, yes.
When you lie on the oath or something.
Oh, boy. I forgot their names. Yep.
Persecution.
Yeah. Climax and Coke.
Yeah, basically. I don't know. I don't even listen to them talk when they
were they were paid.
I don't know what they about.
They were paid. Absolutely, they were paid. And let me tell you, before I toss it over to you guys, let me tell you what I'm most raged about. They say that none of this stuff that's being done is illegal. So what I'm really raised about, how come we can't cash in on some of this, all this free money they tossing around? That's what I'm really outraged about.
That's the question.
Ignorant.
I want something.
Right.
Yeah, that was great. 6 minutes of rage. That was really good. Really good information. Yeah, definitely getting some smoke to the fire. It ain't done yet. It's still lengthy.
You're right, Q. You're
and
so
you know
right.
Who get mad? You know who get mad? Stealth Face Mike Pence is getting mad about it. He telling to wrap it up. Look at here, looking like a villain out of a X-Men movie. If you don't, take your Crip face away and sit down, nobody need to hear from you.
I'm tired of it.
I want to sit down at the Olympics. Sit your ass down somewhere. Don't nobody want to hear from you. I wish Mike is holler. Oh, that's another one to get off. Y'all say Mike Pence is bad. He is bad. He is terrible.
Oh, that's the devil in disguise. That's the devil in disguise.
From Andy Cohen too.
Oh my God.
He wants to reach out from Andy Cohen. Mike Pence is. We'll move on to that.
Okay.
I just want to put out there. Mike Pence wants to reach out from Andy Cohen. we'll move on to Raggedy and Savvy.
Yeah, Q-Lynn, real quick.
Penises. I'm just throwing it out there.
EB, look at all of those eyes. Don't those eyes on all of them? Trump, Pence, the son, the son-in-law, the daughter, the wife, all of the eyes look dark. There's a darkness
they
there.
They are dark. And he ain't got no lips either. You can't trust Caucasian people. Some of them you can trust, but he ain't got no lips. You can't trust people with evil eyes and no lips. You got to pick one or the other. Most of the time it's the eyes, but you ain't got no lips and you got evil eyes, untrustworthy characteristics, I'm just saying. The lips. Yeah, we get into raggedy news. We start this off. Man, we just need to get this out the way here, man. All these Caucasian people, it's like back to back. Like almost every week, it's been a story of some Caucasian person not minding their business, called the police on black people. I don't know when this became a trend over the week. I know this has always been a trend, you know, because white Caucasian people can't never mind their business, but there's been so many stories of Caucasian people not minding their business.
Yes, it's like a new one every day or every other day. It's some white person somewhere has called the police because they feel that a black person is somewhere doing something wrong, and all we're doing is just existing and being in the space, and that's grounds for the police to be called, apparently.
Right, exactly.
It is ridiculous. I mean, it, like you said, it's nothing new, but I do like that it's being publicized more now and it's coming out. But it really speaks to the racial climate of this country that the police are now being called. I think you can look at it two ways. It speaks to the climate because we can't do anything or be anywhere because the police will be called. On the other hand, I don't think anyone in this country is or should be ignorant to the relationship that the police have with black people, particularly in the last couple of years with all of the murders that they've committed and to people who were unarmed and innocent. But for you to then call the police and escalate the situation, make it or increase the tension there, knowing that there's a chance that we can be killed just by being us, you extra raggedy. Extra raggedy.
Man, it's like the Airbnb, Bob Marley's granddaughter, that they called police because they just called the police because she was there. And then the Yale student and the Yale student in the common area taking a nap. There's just so many stories. It just got me fired up. I already told y'all. Y'all remember I told y'all a while back about that white man that was sitting in the car, police on me because I wouldn't move my car from open parking space. Yeah, he was trying to call police on me. It was crazy. I was like, man, if you don't get the broadcast amount, so that story still, every time I read a story like that, it just takes me back to that Caucasian dusted old man that I cussed out. It looked like he on his dying days. I hope he passed away by now. I hope he died. Just smooth. I hope somebody, the Grim Reaper, which you call, whoever came, I hope they came and got him already. That person that was trying to say they're gonna call police on me. I hope they already came and got you. It's just like evil people like that. And then there was one, somebody was barbecuing and they would call the police. Like, what's going on? It's crazy. They call the police. It's just barbecuing. And then it was like a white lady. I saw some of the video. That white lady, it was a white ally. Well, I won't call it ally, but it was just somebody taking up for them. And they was following the girl around, and she was cussing them out. I mean, just yelling at her and stuff, all in her face. And you're like, girl, what are you doing? And she was just, and then the person that posted it said that she was out there trying to call police for like almost 3 hours. Really? Yeah. 3 hours? And it's like, girl, they're not coming after. Like, how you got that much time to kill? That's crazy, but yeah.
But they're quick to turn into the victim, though.
Oh yeah, I saw that when she started crying.
I'm like, all these 14 kids,
take them somewhere else where they don't matter.
Right.
Don't get me started on that, because I know I want to cuss for real. We're going to move on, because I can't cuss like I want to. But yeah, Raggedy News. I hope we'll come back on and talk about Toronto Raptors. I don't know, you pay attention to NBA playoffs?
Not at all.
I don't really pay attention that much. I literally haven't watched NBA season at all. Like maybe 2 minutes, but I haven't really been paying attention. First of all, my favorite team is Sacramento Kings, and we ain't been popping since George Bush, W. Bush was president. That's the last time we was popping. So when we had Mike Bibby and them, so and Chris Webber, we ain't been popping since then. So my team definitely wasn't making the playoffs this year. So, and then it's just interesting to watch it, but I haven't been paying attention. But then I tried to pay attention. I was like, oh,
this team they call Toronto Raptors, they was they're in raggedy news because they were the number one seed and they lost. I know that y'all gonna say, oh, it's LeBron. I don't care. Y'all the number one seed. They got a bunch of LeBron. It's like LeBron and the bum. That's what his team is, because nobody else on that team can score more than 20 points besides Kevin Love, and that's on a bad day because he's terrible. But just from I know off GP, when you the number one seed, you're supposed to be make it at least to the finals. Like, they get put out before the Eastern Conference Finals happen, and they number one. And they had a higher seed than Cleveland, and they lost. So they're in raggedy news for losing and being the number one seed and not making it to the finals. And not beating LeBron and his hairline really making me. I'm gonna let y'all know off the top. I don't talk about sports on here, but I have an affinity and a very close bond of hate for LeBron, if y'all know. And I ain't unleashed yet because I try to wait till the Eastern Finals and the real finals to go in if they do make it there. But yeah, he's definitely getting all the jokes if they lose against Boston. That's who they play for the Eastern Finals, and I'm gonna let all my LeBron hatred unleash.
Bring it out.
The Eastern Finals if they lose. I cannot stand LeBron. I can't stand that bald spot that's trying to emerge on his head and that he's trying to cover it up with that weak ass hairline. I can't stand, this is lightweight, cause I go in. Listen. You hear me when the game is on, and it's all kind of MF'ing. I might go live or go on Instagram just to talk trash on there. Just to talk trash if they lose in the Eastern Finals. Because I can't stand LeBron because he's a bum. I can't stand him because he's a crybaby. He's not really a bum because he's athletically gifted, but he's a crybaby. Like, I love 90s basketball. I don't really watch basketball no more because don't nobody clothesline nobody no more in sports no more. Nobody gets slaps and elbows in the face no more. It's all kiddie basketball in NBA. I don't like that. I like my sports aggressive and violent, and it ain't violent enough for me. Sometimes it is. You get rare moments where somebody gets elbowed and might fracture a bone in their face. It might happen, but that's rare. That means you gotta watch like a whole game to get it. Like, it's like baseball. I don't watch baseball because it's boring. And then I'll watch it for like 30 minutes. And then by the time I turn the channel, somebody is, I'm like, well, why is this going on? I'm watching it. You know what I mean? I got to sit through a whole 9 innings for one of y'all to hit across the base or something. Like, to get a home run. But yeah. Toronto Raptors, y'all in raggedy news because y'all supposed to win. And y'all definitely the definition of overrated. If y'all played that whole season just to lose before the finals, that's what it is. So we're going to move on to Savvy News. I'll talk about Michelle Wolf. We could talk about this last week. Michelle Wolf at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I watched it on YouTube. It was like 15 minutes long. I didn't watch it when it was on TV. I forgot all about it. But people were in such an outrage about it, mostly Republicans because they trash. But I watched the whole thing and I was dying. Like, they were trying to make it seem like she bombed. She killed that. Anybody with a great sense of humor know that she killed that. She ripped the whole thing, and she wasn't biased at all because she wasn't just going in on Republicans. She was giving it to everybody, like liberals, MSNBC. She was giving it to everybody. And I enjoyed it. She had some funny jokes. It was funny. How did you like that?
I thought she was hilarious. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
And at first I was naive to why she was getting so much backlash. I was like, no, she was funny. She was good. So why is
everybody mad? Man, they're just mad.
Yeah, hating.
Because she's telling the truth.
Yeah.
Yo, she said, she was like, a joke about Mike Pence. She made an abortion joke. She was like, that he was against abortion. Mike Pence was against abortion. And she was like, first of all, don't knock it till you try. That's funny. That just made me laugh.
She was like my intentions against abortion. She's like, first off, I'm not going to be tried. She's like, you really got to get in there and rip the baby out. I was like, oh man, I'm like, she's going in. That was so funny. I was dying laughing. That was so funny. And then she said another joke. What was it about, Sarah Huckabee Sanders or whatever her name is? And she's like, she's like, what is the name for Uncle Tom? For white women. She was like, you're the, oh man, it got me crying thinking about it. She's like, you're the Uncle Tom of fight for white women. I was dying laughing. That's so funny. She's like, she burns all the truth on paper and uses it as mascara. Oh my God, that was so funny. I was crying laughing when she said that. That was so funny. Yeah, they were hating. And then she made a good joke about Rachel Maddow and saying that she was like, it's like going to Target and you like, why, how did I end up with with all this stuff? She's like, he gives you a bunch of useless information. It's like, oh, okay, something useful. This is funny how she set that up. It was funny. But yeah, shout out to Michelle Wolf for killing it. That correspondence dinner, that was so funny. But, oh yeah, another big thing that was in the news was Childish Gambino's This Is America video. He was on Saturday Night Live last Saturday night.
Yeah.
And he premiered the song. And then I think, I don't know if he premiered it. I didn't watch Saturday Night Live, so I don't know if he premiered the video on there or if it released that night or something. But I know he performed the song on there, but I don't know.
Right, and the video came later.
Right, and then like all day Sunday, that's all I saw was like my timeline was full of that video.
Yeah.
Because at first I didn't even know about it, and so I saw it down my timeline. I was like, they showed the video. I was like, oh, this is intense. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a pretty abstract kind of video. Like you get your own kind of interpretation from it. I'm like, it's pretty cool. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. The little messages he was giving.
I loved it, and I loved, like, I was watching something, they were, like, breaking down all of the visuals in the video, or why certain people were there, or why he did certain gestures and stood a certain way, and I was like, this is actually very well thought out. I loved it, and I normally haven't been a big Childish Gambino, Donald Glover fan. Like, I don't watch ATL. I have the last album. I did buy the last album. Listened to it a couple times, but I have a cousin who's a big fan, and as soon as I saw the video, I went ahead and texted him, like, how do you like it? And he was, like, excited. He was like, this is what I've been waiting for. So, shout out to Childish Gambino.
Yeah, it was a pretty good video.
Yeah.
Yeah, another trend that was happening on the internet was the Me Too movement. Collective of people, part of it, like Viola Davis,
right,
and all different kinds of celebrities, Ava DuVernay. DuVernay wrote, so I had a post saying, a mute R. Kelly movement that's happening. Like I said, good riddance. It's a good thing. I love it. I've expressed all that I can say about it, and that's about it. I'm for it, so I don't have to follow up no more because I've already expressed how I felt about that. So it's savvy news. Should have been news. Should have been happening, so I'm glad that they're taking the time.
Spotify also released that they were going to feature R. Kelly in any of their featured playlists, that he would not be a part of those.
Right. Yep. Like I said, it should have been happening. I don't care about the excuses and all this other bringing a black man down. Why you gotta fuck all that? I don't care nothing about what y'all talking about.
And this is my thing.
Miss me with that conversation. I'm over it.
It has anything to do with bringing a black man down. Like, I'm like you. I hate when people say that. Even when they said that stuff about Cosby, to me, nothing to do with that. My only gripe with, especially with the Spotify part of it, is I'm still of the school of thought. I'm conflicted. I'm like, well, if you take R. Kelly out of your featured playlist, you then should have to take out anyone who's deemed, quote unquote, problematic from any feature playlist. But realistically, I know there's no way to do that.
There's some artist, I guess I don't know who it is, somebody with a triple X Xenaton something that sounds like a prescription pill. I don't know who the hell it is. It's somebody, Xanax artist or somebody. They said they took their music down, like, I don't know if he Caucasian or just a light-skinned dude, but I don't know who it is, but they put his music down, too. But I'm like, yeah, good riddance. I ain't got time to be sitting there arguing with people about that. It makes me question, like, really what's going on in your head if you, like, vouch for everybody like that. It makes me question everything about you. And it's like, how can you find something negative about that? Like, y'all, everybody's been saying this, and then you trying to, like, oh, like, they doing this to Kelly. And then I hate people that be trying to make it a race thing, but they was the same ones when all this stuff came out about Harvey Weinstein. They was like, oh, they trying to get men to look like predators. I'm like, you know what I mean? Even when you try to, like, act like this ain't a black thing, when it's white people that did it, y'all was acting like this too, so to stop it. They're like, oh, they need to get him in jail. Y'all do know that Bill Cosby, this happened, like, these charges were pending, like 4 years ago. Like 2014, we're in 2018 now. So it's like 4 years and all this came out last year. How do y'all think the justice system worked out? Like, oh yeah, he need to go to jail. So he gonna go this Tuesday at 4 o'clock and he gonna get indicted on Sunday, on the next Wednesday, he gonna get indicted because that's how the justice system works. Cause that's how progressive we are. You don't get a year off in jail for a trial or 2 years. You gotta wait. You get that trial the next week cause that's how that happens. You go to jail that week. People are dumb. I'm over it. I ain't got time to sit and look at it. I ain't got time to be trying to find logistics and stupidity because all y'all sound dumb. I don't want to hear it no more. Shut up and quit talking to me. Say it again.
I was saying, you're right, because sometimes you just can't. There's no way to find logic in certain things, so I don't blame you.
Right. I almost skipped over this. I watched Jada Pinkett Smith. And her mother and Will and her daughter Will Smith started a new talk show or new show that premiered on Facebook. It premiered this past Monday. I watched it. The first episode was talking about blended families, and she had because she's not related to her, but she had Will Smith, her husband Will Smith's ex-wife on, and they were talking about co-parenting, how they co-parented with Trey. Her son with Will Smith and how that started and the ups and downs. I thought it was pretty good. It was a pretty good episode. I liked it. It was really good. I love how like candid they were and how like they seemed like they were like any situation like this could be like somebody's regular life, but they like found a way to get over it and they could talk about it casually without like getting in their feelings about it. So that's how you know you really over something when you can just like casually talk about that, because who can do that? I know people do it all the time, but I'm like, dang, that takes a lot to do that. But, yeah. Did you watch that show?
I didn't. I saw, like, little clips from it. And I'm so, like, somebody called me a negative Nancy yesterday. I thought it was hilarious. Like, I'm not a Smith person, so.
I don't know why, because they are hilarious. I like them.
It's weird, but what I did like was Will Smith on his YouTube was telling the story behind how he actually became the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I thought that was great.
Like, dang, I was going to watch that too late today, but I forgot to.
It was great. I love stories like that, like the behind-the-scenes stuff, like, or what happened to put this, I love stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty savvy. But I'm going to check out the Jada thing.
I think the next one is with Gabrielle Union, and they had us a 17-year beef that I didn't know of. That's how you know it's like some inside Hollywood stuff.
Okay, now I'm going to watch.
I wonder if that's the girl that she was talking about, because she has said something in a book about beefing with a certain celebrity. I wonder if that's the celebrity that she was talking about. We'll find out next week when she releases that interview. But I wonder if that's the girl she was talking about in her... Let's Get More Wine, I think that's the name of the book. We Need More Wine, I think that's the name of Gabrielle Union's book. But she had mentioned something like that with a celebrity. I wonder if that's the girl. I wonder if that's Jada she's talking about. But yeah.
Possibly.
It's a good show. I love them. She's on Instagram now. Will Smith's Instagram is life. Like, he is really taking Instagram to a whole new level. Like, he has a really good Instagram page. Like, he has the best Instagram out there. It's really good.
and he had something on there. It was funny. He was like, I think it was from part of his YouTube page. He was talking about, he's like, I forgot what it was. Never mind. I ain't gonna think about it because I forgot what he said on there. But yeah, Will Smith's Instagram page is dope. Do you follow him on there? You said you ain't with the Smiths though.
Yeah, so you know I don't follow him on there. No, I don't.
I don't know why they're giving you positivity. I don't know what's wrong with positivity. That's like saying you punch kings and puppies in the face, EB.
I do. No, I'm joking. I did, not that
you're
I'm
a horrible person
him
if you did.
Stalk him or anything, but I've been in his Instagram twice and watched like little clips. And I did think it was great, but I just don't follow him. Actually, I need to unfollow a lot of people. Maybe I will follow him. I need some positivity in my life.
He's real positive. He's real good. I followed Jada too, I think yesterday. She just started her Instagram this week, I think. But she got some pretty good stuff on there.
Does she have selfies on her Instagram?
I don't know. I think it's just maybe one or two, but it ain't that much.
I just don't like looking at her new face. Like,
don't do that. Her face ain't that.
It bothers me.
You tried it. Oh, my God.
It looked like the song.
I knew you were doing that. I was trying not to set you up with that joke. I knew you were going that route. I was trying to turn the car back around and reroute, and you went directly. You were like, I'm going to do it anyway. We're going to go right to this dead end.
No, look, we're gonna love Jada Pinkett. I thought she was one of the most beautiful women.
I was that automated voice tell you, you're going the wrong way. You have to turn around.
That's what she
you're
was.
2 miles out.
She was, that's
turn
what
around.
She
you
just kept
going.
Ignore
the GPS, EB.
She needed
that
GPS.
Oh, my God. There you go. You ignored it. You're going the wrong way. Though. You're 2 miles out.
I do respect.
Take exit 71 and get back.
You should have took exit.
Take exit. All right, man. We're going to the brick right now. Right now, we're going to the brick. We're going to the brick right now. And we'll be back. We'll be back with the topic. And talk about discipline, past and present. Let's go. And if we're ready, we're going to break and talk about discipline. We'll be back. If Will's not, put Pino Grigio there. Will, are you there? Will. I think he went to go take a Newport break.
No. Nothing to do with that. You have no idea.
He could put lighting that cigarette up every time we get ready.
you have no idea what goes on here.
You're wearing your clothes.
You know, I have
clothes
to take.
Clothes don't smell like an ashtray. Put it out.
How do you know it was that?
You got a Newport and a wine glass.
No.
You got a wine glass full of Pinot Grigio, and you got an unlit cigarette in your mouth. We need to go break.
You know, folks, I dropped my lawsuit against Q Lynn last year. I think I'm going to have to re-energize that lawsuit.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, okay, all right. You're in Oklahoma. I'm in California, so... you have
I'm
a
in Texas, actually.
Uh-huh.
So yeah.
Are you trying to pull a Trump? Do you have a camera?
Tell me where I'm at.
Do you have a,
you don't know who, I might owe somebody some money or something. You know, cut off my business.
Well.
Everybody.
Oh my God. I don't even smoke Newports. Don't even know anything about them. All right, let's do this.
That's what black people say right there. All black, most black people.
Well, I guess I guess I ain't black then.
Or they smoke the shorts because they don't cost that much.
This is so sexy.
We'll be back.
Say that parents raising babies. They're doing it all alone. To your fellas, to your ladies, keep the faith and stay strong. Working two jobs but need two more. Try not to get sick cause you're uninsured. Oh. Your credit score may not be high. Don't let that be the reason why you don't give things that extra try. Always try to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's that hustle in you that keeps you confident. You put your nose to the grind while you strip behind it. And trust in the faith of blessings coming, never knowing find it. You never know.
Kindred, the family soul, everybody's hustling. All right. Welcome back to the Soul Savage Show, Q Land Green and EB. Now, before I toss it over to you cats, I have to, let me just put in a disclaimer here. Q Land, when I came on off of the break, all right, there, Alicia Darby from Darby's Back came over to get her flash drive for her show tomorrow, which you have yet to promote. It is her hip hop show on the Buzz that starts at 1 p.m. See, I'm telling you, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's 3 p.m. Central, and EB where you are, it's at 4 o'clock. So you accuse me of smoking cigarettes and drinking on the Buzz when I am working here. When I am working, you accuse me of smoking cigarettes and drinking, and the whole world is hearing this. You, because the Soul Savage Show, the Soul Savage Show broadcasts around the globe. So for the listening audience, do not pay any attention to whatever Q-Lin say, Green says. I just want you to know that right now. Now, speaking of tomorrow. Okay. We'll let the host finish her rendition of whatever she's singing.
Yeah, I told you need to let her play some violent rap, like some Onyx or something, like something.
Well,
that
need, you know, I would expect
my role late with let her play some bump and curl 90s West Coast rap.
Well, you know, with your expertise, Q-Lin, I thought that you would mentor this young lady because she is an intern here on the Buzz. She's doing a great, great job. That's Alicia Darby. Alicia Darby.
Yeah, I love.
Yeah.
Are you gonna let her play some violent rap from the
90s
that I love?
Well, won't you, please mentor this young lady? She needs, you know. Alright? See, Q-Lin.
You want me to mentor?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm giving you a specific question. If I can mentor her, can I give her my bump and curl playlist and give her my violent rap playlist of all the songs that I love from the 90s? Can I give her that?
As long as it's radio quality music. No dirty music.
It is radio quality. Talking about, look, I can't even say it because we got so much cussing in it.
See, no, Q-Lin, you already know.
That was my fault.
I thought when we had a meeting of the station, we discussed that this is a family.
I like listening to. Yeah, I got quality. Ain't none of this the rap is quality and promoting blackness. It's all violent rap because I love.
No. See, then I might have to decline. I might have to decline your mentorship. I might have to take away your mentorship. No.
Listen, I don't give her my bump and curl 90s playlist. That's what I call it. Bump and curl music, my DJ.
Oh, folks.
And all that.
This is how it goes here on Soul Savage Show. You never know what to expect.
What'd you say, EB?
I was laughing.
Me too, EB. Me, you know, I told Q Lynn.
Oh, you're done. Don't care.
Hey, EB, remember in the beginning of the show, I said, we do not have our budget would not allow us to have a medical program. And that includes psychological evaluations. So, Q Lynn.
Oh, man.
Powder Pack music playlist together as well. Because you know I'm going to hit y'all with it. If you let her, she's going to be playing 36 Mafia.
Oh, Lord. I think I opened up a can of worms. The can of worms is open. Yeah, I think that did
all right,
that.
We need to get to the topic before we run out of time.
That's right.
Besides talking about discipline, we don't run out of time acting crazy, dealing with Will's foolishness. Hey, don't get me wild up talking about my favorite music of all time. I love violent rap.
No, we're not playing that.
I like my rap.
We're not playing violent rap on the station.
Music, so
it's not going to happen.
My favorite era of music.
Nope.
Hey,
not at all.
Hey, you said, you wanted to extend the mentorship. I'm like, I'm going to
watch it. Yeah, I changed my mind. No, I'm withdrawing your mentorship.
Hey, that's fine with me. Listen, that's you missing out on blessings. Too short is blessing.
No. You know other great rap music without having the violent rap.
Yes, that's my favorite part when he sings.
Well, I'm not.
It's like a bitch. Yes,
see,
that's my favorite word.
Oh Lord, no.
Like,
you have to
say it like your age.
Listen, we're getting on topic. We need to talk about discipline. I'm trying to discipline myself.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
The inner control in me and trying to sit to myself and align my energy to focus and get it on the synergy right.
This is what we're talking about.
The frequency of the positive vibration I'm trying to get.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. How in the hell are you going to have positive vibration with violent rap?
Listen, it focuses me when I'm trying to listen to you. That's why you don't understand the blessing. Because when Notorious B.I.G. talks about taking somebody's loot.
Somebody bring me a
tissue. He's a real motherfucker coming out for the loot. That gets me hyped in the gym.
Q-Lan.
When Sticky Fingers talking about he hates your gut and he hopes that you die. That makes me push harder in the gym.
Get Q-Lan.
I get 20 more minutes of a workout. I put that on repeat like 10 times and get my workout in. That's the positivity and the great energy that I need.
No.
When I work out. It's that violent rap.
You know.
It gets me where I need to go. It's positivity for my spirit to hear that when I'm working out.
Do you like your steak rare also?
I'm going to increase this right quick.
Do you like your steak rare? Do you like your steak rare?
Do I like my steak rare? No, I like it medium.
Uh-huh, okay. All right. I was just checking.
Yeah, you guys, I got eating carcasses. I'm eating carcasses. Like a jackal or something. You call me a jackal?
I was just asking.
Oh, you over there. This is more. I was trying to give y'all some positivity and talk about discipline. And he's going in right now.
No, I just asked a question. That's all I did.
Let's talk. Listen, I answered it. I told you.
Okay.
You trying to turn a negative. You try to turn my positive into a negative.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you the reasons why it's positive for me to hear throw your guns in the gym. My violent rap. Because
yeah.
It gets me from A to point B when I'm working out.
Well, you talking about often. Yeah, you talking about often, folks.
I'm slapping people and burning calories at the same time. This is music.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then you want to slap people and you burn calories at the same time.
Somebody bring me a tissue. I need a tissue. Oh, my God. This is too funny.
Since we only got a little bit of time left, we got to spend this little time talking about discipline.
That's a segue there. What a hell of a segue. You talking about valor rap right into discipline.
I was trying to go into it and you're trying to, you're derailing the positivity of the message that we're trying to get to.
Okay. All right. I'll catch you on one day. I guess. All
right. Right. And the discipline is the definition of what they say discipline is. It says the practice of training people to obey rules, or cold of behavior, use a punishment to correct disobedience. And then it's many other rules. It says a branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. And then if another one says train to obey rules or code of behavior, use a punishment to correct disobedience. I don't like these words, because that's usually how people,
of course,
discipline, because mostly discipline is about self-control. It's not about like obeying somebody. It's about knowing the consequence of like how you're acting. That's mostly like what keeps you from acting a certain way, is the discipline to not respond to something that's your natural reaction. And mostly kids, that documentary I was watching, when I was telling about, the actor that used to be on The Wire, that documentary, the HBO documentary that I was watching, they went to a juvenile center. And they were running, it was like a real statistic of saying that most, teenagers that years of like 13 to 18, they were basically had the, how they got the statistics and how they figured out what it was is that, basically statistics saying that the certain part, it's like a science to it, the way the brain operates, and that they had them do certain tests, and that when they had a room full of people, their peers in there, when they were by themselves, they reacted differently to when they had a peer group around them. Like people they knew, they were more, I think it was like some kind of brain scan to where it elevated to when they had people in the room. So basically saying that they're easily influenced by people in the room, and that's where most of the issues is. And I think when I look at discipline, I look at it as basically just self-control of something. It might be something you want, or something you feel like you need or whatever, and you just want that, whatever that is, and you don't really, and then I think when you're younger, you don't really think about the consequences of that. And you just, in that moment, you just in, like, whatever you're feeling, and whatever happens, happens. But I think discipline is just about self-control. And I think if you don't have that, if you don't have a sense of that, when you're younger, when you get older, then if you lack discipline, then that's always going to be there, because it's a lot of adults that are undisciplined. So they just, mostly, like, they would revert to a child and say, like, they're reacting this way, they're undisciplined, but it's like, what are you teaching them? Like, when you set it up, like, behavior as a punishment and all that stuff, if you don't give consequences to why they shouldn't be acting that way, they're always going to act like that. And that's just a natural thing. Because I know all kind of different kids that grew. I could get into like a whole different thing, but what is your definition of discipline?
Are you asking me or EB?
Whoever wants to go.
Well, I'll go first. EB, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I think you're making some excellent points, Q-Lynn, because I think you have to have a foundation. Discipline only, it derives from whatever you are born with. Well, not only born with, but what are your roots, right? If you have a parent, now you have parents walking around all the time and kids are getting into everything. Now think about it. You've got, there's a bunch of, I don't know, you, and EB remember, this thing called Bebe's Kids. All right. And I forgot oh my God, who was the comedian that did that? He passed away. Okay. Oh God, it was funny. But the thing about it is, nobody wants a baby kid in their house. All of us have relatives, and some of those, people have kids that are so bad, you don't want them in your house. You don't want them tearing up your stuff, marking up your walls, just running around, just doing anything. And guess what? It's the parents' fault. And Q-Lynn, you touched on something. If they're never taught discipline, if they're never taught boundaries, then guess what? Then there are none, because we are a product of our environments. We are also part of what we're taught. And so you can't get away from that. You know, I think that my point is that, if you have kids, folks, they want a baby, they want a baby, but they don't want to nurture and take care of that baby, right? But you have to teach that baby before they can start talking. Because if you try to wait till they're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, the game is over. Because they've already learned a new set of boundaries, a new set of rules, and yours just don't matter then. And so the thing about it as far as discipline is concerned is I think it's the parents' fault in most cases. You know, in most cases, it's the parents' fault. If there is a medical condition or psychological condition, then that's something else differently, right? But then also, the parents and everybody else attribute to what happens to them medically and psychologically. It depends on what you nurture, right? You don't feed a baby a steak, all right? It has to start with what baby food, you see them getting that. So, and that, and by the same token, you can't allow your child to sit in on your conversations, act like they're an adult when they're children. You see, so I think that for most cases, it's the parents' fault.
Go ahead,
I know a lot about discipline. My parents were, I don't want to say they were strict, but as Will was alluding to, they made sure to teach us from an early age so that once we became of age that we had some sort of structure and that we were disciplined young adults and now disciplined adults. I was a rebel. So I always fought it. Like I didn't like discipline and structure then. I appreciate it much more now that I'm an adult, and now that I have nieces and nephews, and I see that my siblings are, some of my siblings are instilling that same discipline in them, and then I have other siblings who aren't doing as we were raised. So I'm very interested in seeing, you know, as my niece and nephews get older, like how that plays out. If the discipline that, or the ones that are disciplined by my siblings, if they are any more productive or any more accomplished, successful than the others who don't have that same discipline and structure. I don't believe in disciplining other people's children to a certain extent. So a lot of the times when my nephews do things or when my niece does something, I try to just let their parents handle it the way that they want to, because I know everyone has a different parenting style. But I'm an advocate for discipline. I think it's important. And I can only say that just because of the way that I've turned out and the person that I've grown to be, that's what worked with me. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll work with everybody. But it worked with me, so I'm an advocate for it.
There's a couple points I want to make, and I want to harp on what Will said and what you said by asking questions. I just need y'all to answer it, and then I'll get my point. I got a question. Okay, so I'm pretty sure we're all raised the same way, so I'm just going to ask you a question. Will, how did you respond to discipline when you were a kid?
Got my ass beat a lot.
Well,
okay, no, that's a short answer. Wait, hold it. That is right. A short answer. But no, my that is a short answer. But guess what? It did happen. You know, and I don't agree with it. I never did it to my kids, but I took from what I learned as coming up, because it was important to me. I didn't want to beat my kids. I have a son and a daughter, and my daughter, I've never put my hands on her at all. My son, I spanked him when he was about maybe 2, you know, but it wasn't hard. It wasn't brutal. It was through the diaper, but it was a shock effect to let him know, say, look, remember? And see, so think about this. No. So what, as far as discipline is concerned, this is the problem, Q-Lynn, that I find. And since a lot of us were beaten, you know, a lot of kids say, well, I'll never beat my child. And I agree with that. You don't have to beat a person, but you have to teach them at an early age. So what happened was my parents, they talked to me, and grandparents too. They talked to me, but they also, when I got out of line, the worst beating I ever got in my life, and I still remember this, and this was decades ago was my grandma. I said, damn, I thought this woman loved me, you know? And quick second, I'm going to take about 30 seconds. And so I defied her. She told me don't go out in the street. So I figured that I was going to be smart, and I just stuck one leg in the street and jumped back. And so she told me to get a switch. So I came up with a twig. This woman broke a branch off the tree and beat me half to death. I said, damn. You know, this is the woman that bought me my first trumpet. What in the hell is going on around here? But the point is, I never defied this woman again. I remember that today. But the point is, it says, look, we don't like liars and we don't like thieves, right? And if anything happened to in this or defiance, and so you didn't cross that line. I was afraid for my life. I thought my mom was crazy. I said, what's wrong with this woman? You know, but the point is that they says, look, you're going to do right. Right is right. Right will follow you, and wrong will get you in jail, and I'm not bailing you out.
See, you got to the point where I was trying to make, and I'm going to get to it. When I say responded, you, from your words, you said you thought your mom was crazy, and that's what got you not to do whatever it was that she didn't want you to do, and it was just, from that discipline, well, when I'm talking about discipline, I'm talking about in terms of self-control, like how you said that, how it made you feel was you thought that she was crazy, and that's what motivated you not to do that. So, and every, just quickly, your answer, like how you responded to discipline, how did that affect you as an adult in terms of discipline? Like how did that discipline as a kid carry with you? You seem like you carried it positively. You took a positive outlook on it. Is that where I'm getting?
Yeah, because at the age of 12, I said, you know what? I'm never going to get my ass beat again, or I'm never going to get caught. All right? But then inside of that, I'm saying that what I did was that I listened to what she said, and I looked at a lot of my friends that were getting in trouble, and they were disrespectful to their parents. And I knew what, even though that, their motives or their way of disciplining, in my opinion, was like over the top, you know, but nobody died, anything like that. But their way of disciplining, I knew it was a little strong, huh? But they were right. And in adulthood, like E.B. said, I appreciate it more now than I did then. But I learned at an early age that there are consequences. I think you mentioned that word, Q-Land, for not doing the right thing. You know?
And I ask this question before I make my point. How was the way you were disciplined, that fact of getting a whooping, was that the only reaction you would have for you to do anything positive from that, to do in terms of following along with discipline? Was that her whooping you? Was that the only way of her getting your attention? Or what if it was a conversation, would you respond differently to doing what she said? Or was that the only way that you was going to listen, is if you got a whooping?
No, I think that is an excellent, excellent question, an excellent point there. No, I think that if she had taken back the corporal punishment and talked to me, I think I would have gotten it, because the way that I disciplined my children was not using corporal punishment at all. It was talking to them, and I felt that the best way to teach anything or anyone is to teach them not when they're old enough that they've gone their own ways, but teaching your children from the cradle. And I think that is vitally, vitally important. Before they can talk to them and nurture them, teach them.
That's what I'm getting at when I'm asking these questions. It's like with discipline, we automatically go to spankings and whooping, but like I said, I was raised, just to give a quick synopsis, it was pretty much like that. That's where I was disciplined. It wasn't too much. It was just what called for whooping. And most of the stuff that I did that got me a whooping was something astronomical, to where that was the only solution to that. Like almost setting a house on fire, like breaking a TV, like because I was mad, like, that, or fighting one of my siblings, that was what caused for a whooping. But it was never something extreme in terms of
like, because I never made bad grades in school. I didn't get whooped for having bad grades or nothing like that, because I made pretty good grades in school. And my discipline came from, in terms of my work ethic, it was structuring my work ethic without me noticing it. Like, we had chores. We had weekly allowances if we did certain things. It was like a cause and effect thing. If you do this, then you get this thing. And so in terms of that, in terms of showing us how to be an adult, they were training us how to be an adult. And then there was also little stuff. I don't know if everybody that's listening in follow this, but we couldn't. It was just certain things we couldn't do. Like, we couldn't say certain words. Like, but was a curse word in our house. Like, you couldn't say but. You couldn't say, like, even not even, like, ass or something like that. Like, some, like, those big words. It was just something like but. Or, like, I forgot the other word. We couldn't say certain things. Or we couldn't say shut up. We couldn't say certain, like, that was, like a big thing. And then it was, like, we couldn't be it. Like, if it was a room full of adults, if it was a gathering of adults, we couldn't go in the room with them. We had to, like, stay in the back with the kids. All the kids had to stay in one room. They couldn't go up there with the adults conversation. Basically, they were saying, stay out of grown folks' business, and that was sort of their way of doing it. And also, they would say stuff like we couldn't look at, like, adults in the mouth. That was, I don't know if that's the thing, if that's a Midwest thing or something. We couldn't look at, like, we couldn't look in adults' mouth while they were talking. That was a big thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was how I was raised. And it was like, when we would eat whatever was on the table, that's what we ate. We didn't have, like, oh, can I get a low-calorie, gluten-free cheese sandwich?
No,
whatever she cooked, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and green beans. If that was on the table, that's what you were eating. And that's what it was. And if you didn't want it, then you went without. Most of the time I went without because I didn't like, my grandma loved salmon croquettes. And I was like, nope, I'm not eating that. And I forgot when it was. I think it was Easter. I went to her house or something. And it was just like relatives. We were talking about, like, back in the day, because that's what you do when you get older. You start reminiscing about back in the day and that's everything. And I was like, did you know I used to, like, bitch up the stuff you told me to eat and I didn't want. Did you know I used to spit it in a napkin and, like, stuff it underneath the trash can where you couldn't see it? And she was like, no, I didn't know that. And that's how I was, because I'm like, she would say, eating or going without. And I'm like, I'm going without because I don't want this. I don't like mixed vegetables. I'm not eating.
You were a brat.
And I would just spit it out. Right, that's how I was. I was a rebel. It was just an inner rebel in me. I knew, like, they wasn't playing around. I knew my dad and them, my uncles and aunts, all of them are close. My dad has over non-siblings, and so they're all close. So if you can imagine, like, getting in trouble, you got to answer to every single one of them. Like, it was like community discipline happening. Like, you couldn't, like, it wasn't right. And it was like my idea of discipline was, oh, like, from then it was like, you know what, I already know, I seen, like, my sister was, like, the really rebel, because she was, like, talking back wasn't a thing in the household. If you talk back, that would, like, get you, like, certifiably slapped in the mouth or any kind of discipline happening. But my sister would take it, like, she would only do that with my dad. My dad would kind of get her in line, but she was always pushing that line, like she always did. And when it broke, it was when we switched households and we went to our mom's side, and that's when it went crazy, because then we went to having a nice, quieted, all Caucasian community where nothing, crime was committed or nothing like that, to being in Oklahoma City. I'm in high school, she's in middle school, and we're basically doing our own thing because we didn't have discipline, because we didn't have a parent around that was, the parent that was supposed to be watching us, they wasn't watching us. And so we were pretty much strictly raised, like, a certain way. And the only thing that got us through was, like, common sense stuff. And it was like, you go from a reality of, like, you're, like, kind of sheltered, and then you get, like, you get privileged to doing anything you want to. Like, I soaked all that up. And so when I was 15, like, all the discipline that I had was, like, banished, because I had opportunity
to do whatever I wanted to do. And the point I'm getting at is I can see how certain kids get into juvenile centers and all that stuff, because when you don't have, even if it's a parent around, if they're working, if they're not around, you can get into stuff, especially if you're around the environment to where shit is happening. Like, if you're in the hood, like, we were in the hood, and there was a bunch of stuff happening. Like, I wasn't there long because it was a lot of dramatic stuff that was happening, and we had to, like, it was like life or death situations happening around us because we was in the hood, and there was, like, we were in the bad parts of Oklahoma City, like, really, like, high crime rated, gang bang, and all that stuff was going on, and we were around that. And so it was, like, I had to rely on, like, common sense stuff to get out of that so I could understand why kids that grow up in certain households, they see that reality, because it's easy to, like, it's like real poverty going on in the hood, and you can't look at it from a privileged point, because if you don't know what that is, then you can't understand how kids get into that. But just from observing it, I was like, yo, like, this is how you get caught up in stuff like that. And I could have easily, like, did, like, all that stuff. And I ain't gonna say, like, all the stuff I did, because I didn't do a lot of good stuff when I had that undisciplined stuff going on. But I know once I got, like, my comments, I was like, yo, I'm not doing this. Like, I don't want to be here. So I when I had an opportunity to leave, I left. And I went back home. And I didn't go back to that. Now, I can't speak for my other siblings, because they got caught up in it. Like, seriously, like, they got caught up in that whole thing, the drug lifestyle, all everything that went with that. And it took them years to, like, shake all that off. And it's like, we grew up together, and you fell into that. And I could have easily, like, fell into that if I was into, like, if I was influenced by other people. I wasn't influenced by other people. I always did what I wanted to do. But she was influenced by other people. And that looked a certain way to that person. And so it was like, oh, I'm going to do that because that looks fun. At a certain point, that, like, ran out for me. Like, it's like, wow, this is crazy. Like, after a while, the gunshots ain't fun no more. It was like, yo, these gunshots, like, this is real life. Like, it's people cutting up drugs and all. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. I don't want to be around this. And so my point is this, with kids, when I think of discipline, I think of kids that you can't treat every kid the same way. Because when I hear certain people, certain parents or grandparents or whatever say that kids aren't, it's a double-sword thing, because it's like, yes, kids need discipline, but it's like, what kind of discipline? And it's like, discipline to me needs to be focused on the consequences of the action. Because if you don't give consequences to why they shouldn't be doing it, they're going to do it. Because I was that kid, like, the stuff that intrigued me was the stuff that they told me I wasn't supposed to do. And they never gave me a consequence why. And I had to learn and experience why that wasn't good by going through it, because nobody told me, oh, you're not supposed to be doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking to that point, I was very inquisitive. Like, I need to know a reason why behind everything. I'm not one of those kids that's going to why you, but it needs to make sense to me.
And I remember
being younger, and there were a few times, like quite a few times, that something didn't make sense to me, so I would ask why, and that would automatically be assumed that as I was back talking, you know, I was talking back.
Right.
But it's like, no, I need to understand why, so you need to show me or tell me a reasoning behind why you're saying no, or the consequences if I do this or if I don't do this. And if you can't provide that for me, it's going to intrigue me even more, and I'm going to want to know the why. So that was actually something, now that I'm older, my parents and I actually talk about a lot, and I think they have realized more now, I don't want to say the mistakes that they made, but certain things they did as parents that didn't exactly work, and they get to try those same things or in a different way with now their grandchildren, my niece and nephews. And right. I like seeing that. I like knowing that the things that, you know, as a child that you instilled in me, and now that I'm an adult and we can have a real conversation about what worked and what didn't, I like having the chance to see you actually paid attention to what I said, and you're trying to do things differently, you know, albeit not with your own children, but your grandchildren. and you know, fix or improve on those skills that I felt that you were lacking. I like being able to have those conversations. Like I said, I'm inquisitive. I want to know why. Like, I need support and evidence. Like, you got to show me or tell me something. And if you can't, then nah, it's a no.
Right. And it's just, it don't matter what house, you could have two parents in a household. If that's inquisitive, if you give the discipline without the consequence, it don't matter what kind of kid you have. You can grow up in church and you can grow up. It's always those stories of a preacher's kid are the ones that are the wildest ones. That's a big thing because they lived such a sheltered life, such a life to where they couldn't do so much. And then I hear so many different stories of if you get into the different denominations of churches and the restrictions they had, when you put that on somebody, if you're dealing with a kid that naturally resists that, they're going to like go different from that. And that's always been me. I've always been inquisitive of things. It didn't make sense in terms of wherever I was in church and I was inquisitive or just politics or anything that I thought about. Like if it didn't make sense to me, I wasn't doing it. And most of the time it was just me leaning on common sense that got me through that. Cause I've never been to jail, I've been none of that stuff, but I've still like, even growing up in that household of discipline and going to church and all that stuff, that wasn't enough for me to not do the stuff I wanted to do that I was inquisitive about, whether it would be partaking with certain, like smoking weed or drinking too much and all that stuff. That was my own stuff. And so I can't blame like how I was raised if I partake in stuff like that or the people I surround myself with. I can't blame nobody for that. And you can't do that with kids. They're going to do that. And it's just dependent on the kids. If their going off the instinct and if they lack self-control, they're just going to do what feels natural to them. And most of the time that can be detrimental to them physically, and it might end up them getting killed or whatever in certain situations, but that's just that. That's all discipline is. It's just trying to teach somebody self-control. I raised four kids, and all four of them are different. I don't treat none of them the same because they all differently. It's not a matter of equal love and treatment. It's just about the personality, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. And most of the time, like just to be specific, it's one of the kids. He's a little boy. The first day he went to school, his first year going to school, he did not respect, like he would do certain things. He would only do so much to where he knew he could get away with it. Like he knows like who he could get away with stuff with. And so when he goes to school, he knows the teachers are not going to discipline them a certain way. He knows that they're going to call the parents. And so he thinks he could go to school and wild out because nobody was watching him. And so he would, the first week of school, they would be calling my aunt that's guardian of them and was like, yo, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's doing this. And she was faking, we had a system of faking. But we realized with him, that's not working because he's gonna, and then what we started doing was taking away his privileges. He had a tablet, he had toys, he had a whole room full of toys. In a box thing, we took all of that out of me and her. I was like, what we need to do? We need to take all the toys out. We took all the toys out of there, tablets, everything, anything that would be fun to him. We took it away from him. Turn the TV off. No TV. Turn everything off in the room. And when I tell you that, it seemed like we whooped him like with two switches or something, like with two belts. But the way he responded to that, like literally, he was crying like somebody had shot him in the chest, like. Us taking all that stuff away, and he basically all his privileges, everything that he had, he got taken away from him, and he couldn't have it for 2 weeks because he thought it was a joke and that she was going to give it back to him. She was like, "No, because you're not acting right." And guess what? 2 weeks later, guess how he was acting 2 weeks later after he started getting good reports back from the teacher. He started acting right, so he was the one that. It didn't matter how hard you tried to discipline him in terms of physically trying to spank him, he didn't respond to that. The only thing he responded to was taking away the stuff that he liked. And he's obsessive with the tablet, so taking away from him, that's like taking away his life. But yeah, that's my thing. And I think my savvy, we'll wrap this up because we're out of time. I think my savvy heathen talk is just, my savvy heathen talk is just when you treat and teach your children to be and act like a dictator, you're basically conditioning them to be followers. That's all it is. When you go so hard with the discipline, you're teaching them to be followers because that's all they're going to look to is somebody to tell them what to do. They're not learning nothing because you're just telling them what to do. You're not explaining to them and you're not giving the consequence of why they shouldn't act like that. So when you tell them to act like that, all they're going to do is going to make them turn from you and hate you and look to somebody else and what they define to be something to be of what discipline is, or not even discipline, just somebody trying to guide them, and they're usually going to guide them the wrong way. Hence why people join gangs. It's a whole thing to it, but we out of time. We got to do like a part two. But yeah, that's my savvy heathen talk. When you treat and teach your kids how to act and be like a dictator, you're conditioning them to be followers, and that's my savvy heathen talk. What's your savvy heathen talk, EB?
I'm gonna add to that a little bit. So my savvy heathen talk is, it's okay to explain to your children the basis of certain rules or why they are in place. Don't be afraid to openly communicate with them. It's not you stooping down to a child's level or explaining to a child, you know, exactly, something that should be or something that you feel is beneath you. No, it actually helps in the discipline process to actually explain why certain rules are in place. And at times, it's perfectly okay to show them the consequences of not following certain rules. We all know people who didn't follow certain rules and look how they turned out. It's okay to
right,
tell your
exactly.
That's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to be. It's okay to do that. So that's my savvy heathen talk.
That's touch right there. That's touch. We finally gave a good one. A good savvy heathen talk without the heathenness.
Yeah,
oh man, I got so many stories, man. I'm gonna save it for another day. I gotta tell y'all the one story. The one time I was dating the blood and I didn't know it, but that's a whole nother story.
yeah, I guess it is.
That's a whole nother story.
But
thank y'all for tuning in to Soul Savage Radio. Everybody, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And shout out, shout out to Haley, the co-founder of Told by Her. Today was her graduation day at Oklahoma State University. She got a master's degree.
That's right.
She's popping out here in the streets on the collegiate side of the game. And she's doing the damn thing out there. And Whitney are going to be on next week. And we're going to talk about that whole feeling because I know she's been amped. I sent her a text earlier today and congratulated her on graduating today. Whitney's going to be graduating soon. So shout out to them, man.
That's right.
I told them I'm getting 240 ounces on them. I got a 40 ounce with their name on it. I got it for celebration. Get them a Keisha cold drink to celebrate this.
Wow.
We out, y'all. Social yep. Radio. We'll be back next
on Studio W The Buzz, EB, Q Lane
Green. Studio W The Buzz.
What a great show. Y'all. Great show. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. People are only going to react or respond based on the information that they have. Hey, that's women, children, adults, and all of the above. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, let's do it. So, Savvy the Show. EB.
Yeah,
Q-Lane Green. Always great.